Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
So very glad.
Miguel is back.
He's back.
Miguel's back.
Yeah.
I love that.
So glad to see your smiling face again, brother.
I love his hat.
Yeah.
Thank you. It just says pray.
Yeah.
Giant letters, pray.
That's great.
That's what got me through it.
That's what does it, man.
Oh, yeah. Man. We got to jump right into this. But I want to ask you a question. When you and I met at the baptism class, what year was that? How long ago was that we met?
It was about four years ago, over 4 years ago.
So 4 years ago, Miguel, it sounds like a joke, Miguel walks into a A1 with a bunch of people, a whole table full of people, and we hadn't met before or anything. And so I ask him his story. And this is the short part of it because I want you to tell all of it. He said, I was about to go in. I've got a terrible situation. A kidney runs in the family, and I'm going in to see the doctor. My numbers haven't been good, and they were going to do something. It wasn't a transplant or anything, but it was something.
Yeah, they were going to get me going on dialysis.
Yeah, so scary stuff, right?
Yes.
So he said, I just figured, tell me if I get it right, because I think I got it right. I need to marry my girlfriend so she doesn't, if things don't go right, she doesn't bury a boyfriend, she buries a husband.
Oh my God.
I got to know where I'm going if I die, because I'm facing it, because other people in your family have died of this condition, right?
Yeah.
More than one.
Yes.
And so I need to get baptized. And he has impacted so many people's lives, his work.
You better believe it.
Even with this incredible condition where he was in constant pain and still working harder than probably the other guys, they have all been impacted. They were getting baptized with you too, right?
Yeah, and guys come into church and getting baptized. And this is funny because I do a little bit of everything, but I set tile, I hang drywall. So I would be at work and people would walk into a bathroom and I'm like setting tile, draining my dialysis bag.
Oh, wow.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But then it was able for me to spark a conversation.
Yeah.
How are you doing this? How are you setting this? How are you hanging? How are you on scaffolding, hanging drywall on the wall with a bag hanging out of you? And I'm like, well, this is the strength of God.
Dude, yeah. And I forgot your buddy's name. The buddy that was always telling
Franco.
Franco?
Yeah.
Okay, so Franco's telling Miguel, hey, Jesus, take care of everything. And Franco wasn't even, I don't think from what he said, that he was walking that strong with the Lord, was sharing the Lord with you. And you were angry at him. You were mad at him. Like, don't tell me that.
Yeah. He kept telling me about healing. And I was like, this is generations deep. There's nothing that can be done for me. It's already, the doctors have already told me what's going to happen at the end. And that's final.
So when you came out of the water, and it was the old baptismal where I got to be the towel boy for real, and something happened. Your numbers changed when you went back to the doctor.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a whole a week of things. So like you said, I had a surgery coming up to start the dialysis, and they're going to put a catheter in me. Freaked me out. Never had surgery. Never been opened up. So I needed to get baptized so I knew where I was going in case something went wrong. My girlfriend at the time was my wife now, already tried to donate me a kidney, did everything in the world for me, didn't want to leave her as a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get straight and get baptized and not be living in sin.
Yeah.
So we got, I think, married on a Thursday. I got baptized on a Sunday. And then Tuesday I had my doctor's appointment. I was supposed to go in and they were supposed to set me up for dialysis. And then I go in and the doctor's like, I don't know what happened, but your points jumped up 4 or 5% up.
And that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah,
now.
And it doesn't happen. And he's on, we're able to buy another 6 months before we even start talking about
that's
dialysis.
That's so crazy. Wow.
And what's interesting about it is years before, I had two guys in my home group that needed kidneys. And I had a buddy who had gotten a new kidney and it changed his life forever. Obviously, he didn't die. And then we had Aaron Martin, who got two kidneys, one from her mom and one from her sister. And so I got into this world of organ donations.
I did.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you something. This is crazy. Somebody got a hold of me and said, listen, my mom, we're going to take her off the machines and everything. She's going to die. She tried to step into a situation where this guy was really getting this stuff knocked out of him, and it was like a drug deal gone wrong, and they ran over her car, and she ended up dying. They said, we want her life to have meaning. We want to give kidneys or give her all of her body parts that she can. And so I'm on the phone in this hospital brokering body parts.
That's so
bad. And we had a organ transplant ministry. And so this reignited it, because how can you not love Miguel? You want Miguel to live forever,
ever,
right?
Ever and ever.
Yes. So when he told me that story, I went to work, and we had a couple of people who tried to donate to you as well, but it's complicated.
Yeah, so I come from a family line. This disease, like 90% of the men on my dad's side have this disease and end up going through this. But I'm the only one that has had like 6 or 7 people try to donate me a kidney.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And yeah, praise the Lord, because every time it didn't go through, maybe the other person was sad, but I was like, it's okay. This is God telling me, I see you. Mm-hmm. It's not your time yet. It's their chance to be obedient. And yeah. I was like, you got to be obedient. We got to go closer.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Quira, yeah. He went all the way through the process and almost to the final point, and it turns out he had kidney stones. And it was like, he goes, I don't care, and he won't care. At least he'll have a kidney. And he goes, no, you could have trouble. You could have trouble. Uh-huh. So they said no to Tom for him, but he was willing, and so were others.
Yeah.
But Miguel's on the show to tell us the rest of the story. Yeah. So what happened, man? Because you're looking good.
Yeah, I feel better than I've ever felt. Maybe I felt like this as a kid, but I can't remember.
Incredible.
And it's the story that I heard from other people. I think you just brought her up right now. They gave their testimony at Mother's Day. And when I heard it, I teared up when I heard her say that she woke up feeling better than she ever felt before. And I couldn't relate. And I just teared up. And I was like, just pray for that feeling one day. And last year was so hard for me. In the beginning of the year, we started off with, they were giving me all kinds of medications. I was getting sicker and sicker, and they just kept piling the medications and not taking anything off. And they ended up giving me 2 medications that were poisoning me. Mm. And in the first half of the year, I ended up in the hospital 10 times,
yeah,
in the emergency room, and they couldn't figure it out till the end that it was actually the medication that was poisoning me.
Yeah.
That caused damage that even after they fixed the medication problem, it caused so much damage that the rest of the year was a complete struggle. Mm. And it was actually in November, I'm working, doing a tile job, and I'm struggling at this point. I have a way of rating because I've been in the hospital so many times. They go 1 through 10. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe I'm not at a 10, but I have 10 sevens going off. And I'm just not feeling well. I'm just waking up every day just saying, Miguel, just get up, finish the day, and get back in bed. And like that was my life. And so this one day I get up and I go set the guys up to set up tile. And I'd been thinking all weekend, I'm done. How do I tell my wife that I'm done? Like I can't work no more. I can't, I'm passing out. I'm having to pull over to the side. I just can't function. My brain's not thinking. I'm not sleeping anymore. I'm going 3 days in a night just wide awake, and I'm just walking all night waiting for the sun to come up to go to work in the morning. And it was just piling up on me. So I thought about it all weekend, and Monday came and I set the guys up to set some tile, and I told them I'd be back, and I jumped in the car and I was gonna head to the house and tell my wife I'm done. Like we're gonna have to figure out a new way of life. And on my way there, Sharp calls, and Sharps calls me and they tell me, oh, where are you? We're gonna need you. We're going to call you at 5 to check in at 8. You have surgery in the morning. And I'm like, wait. Nothing happens like that with the medical world. I'm like, you mean you'll see me next week? We're going to talk about something in the future. And they're like, no, this kidney's got 36 hours. We're testing it right now. We're going to call. It didn't hit me. And I drive home and I get out at home and I tell my wife. She starts pouring tears.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to dawn on me, but I still don't think about the kidney and myself. I'm like, oh no, the guy's payroll, rent, the kids, food, groceries, toilet paper. And so I spend like all the time running around, organizing everything. And then sure enough, 5 o'clock comes and they call me and they're like, come in, it tested good. And so I went in there and I checked in and
oh, man.
Someone had passed away and I got their kidney. And
so when was that?
It was in November 18th.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went and I got the kidney transplant, and then I thought I'd be back in a month. My wife just laughed at me. I told everyone, yeah, I'll be back at work. I'll be back sent in Taiwan in a month. And actually, it took me about a month and a half just to wake up. And then I had a cellate.
You couldn't come to church or anything because you could catch any disease at church.
Is that because your immune system's
they
depressed?
Shut my immune system completely off and
to be able to take the kidney.
To not reject it.
Okay, yeah, to not reject. And then I was all like just trapped in the house, and I even missed my little nephew, so I was like, bring him over. And as soon as he walked in the house, I just felt a cold come over me.
Aww.
And then so I ended up back in the emergency room after the surgery about 5 times. I caught the flu, and it was probably the worst flu I've ever had. And then all my staples were coming out. I made it. God was there the whole time. One of the times I was in there, and I was getting really depressed. And God was telling me, you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. Send a text out. You have men's group. You have home group. Mm. Send a text out. And so I sent a text out to the guys of my men's group, and right away, boom, the guys start texting me. And then out of nowhere, Mike Van Meter texts me, and he's like, hey, we're in the prayer room praying for you right now. How you doing? And I was like, God requires so little and gives so much. He just, just step out. Just send a simple text. Simple text, and then I'm just bombarded by his love. Mm-hmm. And then one of the guys is like, where you at? I'll be there right now. Comes with the Bible. His wife reads me scripture. Totally changes everything. God has been working so much in all this kidney, in everything. He's been in everything. One of the biggest things it chokes me up a little bit. One of the biggest things was in January. I'm part of a ministry with Matt Grossman, and he always releases every year a message that God gives him. And every year it's come true. And the last year he came out with one, and it was Jesus touching a dead tree. And he said, this year, Jesus will touch things that are dead and bring them back to life.
Yeah.
And when I saw that in January, it made me sad because I was like, man, they told me 8 to 10 years for a kidney. I'm barely going to hit 4 years. At that time, I was barely at 3. And I was like, I feel like the message is for me, but it's not. It's too far away. And so every month when I would see that flyer, part of me would hurt because I would be like, oh, it's not for me. And then November came and I got the surgery, didn't even think about it. And then as I'm healing up in January and I'm coming to, I go to my refrigerator and the magnet's right there on the refrigerator. And in the morning, I just start shedding tears and crying. And I'm like, I'm that tree. I was dead last year. I was dead.
You were done.
And God brought me back to life. Yeah, he brought me back to life. And it's him touching this tree that's completely dead. And on the other, where he touches it, all this fruit, it grows and the tree comes to life. And I was like, that message was for me.
Glory, dude. Yeah, you have glory all over you.
Yeah, you do.
All over you. If you guys have not listened or heard the first episode with Miguel, I encourage you to... Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to it because it will bless the socks off of you.
Something that I've been thinking about a lot, and just even hearing you talk about like that moment when you were finished and you were going to go home and tell your wife, and then Sharp called you. I've had a lot of moments like in my life, but also watching other people's lives where it feels like God is like a last minute God. It feels like if something doesn't happen tonight, I'm going to be homeless. I can't pay my rent. I can't meet whatever demands this landlord's meeting me. Or if I can't figure this thing out, like I won't, I don't know, just like situations like that. And a lot of the times in people's lives I've seen where it's like, okay, I have 24 hours before this crazy thing happens, or this decision's going to be made, or I'm going to make this decision. And it's like on the 23rd and a half hour, God is like, hey, how about this? And it's interesting because I don't think that God is actually like a last minute God. I think that we as humans, we just feel like it was like, oh, surprise blessing. But the reality is, like, he always knew that was going to happen. He always knew exactly when that phone call was going to happen. He knew exactly when that person whose kidneys you got was going to pass away. He knew that those kidneys were going to go exactly to you. And he's always known that's going to happen. And so the question I usually ask myself is like, if the Lord wasn't like a last minute God and this wasn't like a surprise blessing, then like, what did I learn in these last couple of months or years? Really feeling like, God, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Okay, here's my deadline, and you were 1 minute before my deadline. What did I learn in those moments? And I think the biggest thing is learning and remembering and being encouraged that God is always working.
Yeah.
That he's always working, that he always knows what's around the corner. He always knows what's going to come. And I tell people that I counsel, if you believe that the Bible is true and you believe that what the Word of God says about God is true, then you believe that God is a good God. So when you can't see things, when you don't know the end result, when you don't know when your blessing's coming, you can trust that God is moving and he is working things together for your good. And every story that I've heard of people like in that circumstance where they're like, okay, God, hypothetically, I'm done at 12 a.m. on Monday. God is like, hey, how about this? At 11:59 on Sunday, yeah. Watch like your blessing come and know that I've been working this whole time. I think it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging hearing stories like that.
And in the moment of in the fog, and at the moment it's hard to see, but now stepping back, I can see. I mean, God had this plan before I was even born, but mm-hmm. I can see, because first it started with God told me to leave my company, mm-hmm. and he told me to branch out on my own, and that's really scary. It's just me and my brother, and then if I need help, a couple of friends. And I branched out 2 years on my own. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have made it the 5 months I had to not work. So I was like, God prepared me for that. And the whole thing I've learned is just be obedient. So no matter how mm-hmm. much it sounds crazy or I don't know, as long as it's coming from God, then you got it. You yeah. got it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the sayings that I've learned is bless it or block it. Yeah. And I don't want to go into instruction. I tell them that about every job, bless it or block it, because I don't want my flesh to make me take a job because of the money and bills. Yeah. And I was like, if God's not there, then I'm losing already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You experienced the difficult times, and I think you were faithful. Because I don't know you as well as Kevin might know you, but I have seen you and I have watched you. And interestingly enough, I've seen you in Foothills and at Freedom Fridays, because I do worship there occasionally. And one thing that's always encouraged me is I see you and your family always going up for prayer,
yep.
always believing that the Lord could bring healing and will bring healing and move over you, as well as working through those emotions. And so I think it's another encouragement of what it looks like to remain steadfast and know that God is good while you're going through something really hard, especially when you don't know if it's going to end with you being alive or you passing away, and just putting that trust in God. And I think along the theme with our podcast, I think even without you, and I don't know if you've had time conversations to bring people to Christ through this, I think even without you even actually having to open your mouth, I think that's a testimony itself to people that don't know the Lord. Just watching you, probably that don't even know you, just watching you and being like, yeah, I need to know what that is.
Yeah, because other people from the old company got baptized and were watching.
Yeah.
One of the many things I appreciate about you is that you walk it and you're not afraid to tell anybody about it. Pastor Mark, a few weeks ago, not this last weekend, but a few weeks ago, talked about the power of our testimony. And you have incredible power in your testimony, because nobody can say, oh, you don't understand. No, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
You understand. And, you know, we've had some tragedies happen in this family that we belong to at Foothills, where a youngster, 3-year-old, dies, and it doesn't make any sense, and it hurts so, so bad. But there's somebody else who has experienced that as well that can say he's faithful. That's the thing. And by the way, I don't know if I told you this, guys. This is pretty cool. Back about 10 years ago, I started a thing where we help people share their testimony. So they write it down so they get used to it, and then we video them. so they get used to saying it, and then we help them put it on their social media and maybe on our website.
No, I actually didn't know anything about
this. So we're doing it again.
Cool. Oh, cool.
So I'm starting it up. And I already talked to Neil, and we're going to be doing that, where we're going to assist people to be able to articulate just the simplicity of their testimony.
Really, because
nobody can argue with your testimony, right? So that's powerful, and it's happening. So however Lauren says to get a hold of us, get a hold of me, because we're going to be doing this. And I think it's going to be powerful, because there's so many stories that are so powerful about a pseudo last-minute God talking about. But there's something else, Miguel, that I always think about who's listening. Because this will come out on a Monday morning, but the other episode's like 4 years ago, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
3 or 4 years ago, something like that. And somebody's listening, can be listening to it today because it's there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the person who's angry, who's bitter, who's mad at God, who says, "What about me? What about me?" Like when you're listening to Aaron saying, "I feel better than ever before," and you're going, "Hey," you could very easily say, "Hey, God. Got to do to get a little attention here to get something," and I'm sure there's times where you were human and you ran out of patience and you weren't the perfect little Miguel shining, that you had frustration and disappointment and despair. How has it been on this journey where you didn't get offended and resentment towards God? How did that work?
I didn't, because I started the journey without him and it was miserable. It was awful. It was my doctor's appointments. I cried every doctor's appointment. After I gave my life to Jesus, I never cried again. I never cried again because I knew it was in his hands and I knew he had me. And no matter how sick I got, he always showed himself to me. And whether it was like, that's why it's so important to be involved in the body of Christ, because I would just be laying there sometimes struggling to get out of bed, and I would get a text from one of the guys. They didn't know what I was going through, and they sent me scripture that has exactly to do with what I'm going through at that moment.
Wow.
And so no matter how bad I was, God was always faithful, and God was always improving my life. No matter, every year I got weaker and weaker, but then he gave me more and more help. Whatever got taken away, he provided. And all the way till the end where I couldn't do it anymore. And then he said, "Okay, enough's enough. Here's your kidney." And he's just always been there. So I guess starting the journey in the beginning. And when I saw her, I was happy for her. I just craved that feeling. I just craved it. And I didn't realize how many things were wrong with me until I got better. Like the fogginess in my brain, the heavy legs, the tired, the not being able to sleep.
Like, I remember you saying at dinner you couldn't hold your fork.
Yeah.
Because it was so much pain.
So much pain, and then
no energy, right?
And because I have no vitamins and nutrition, my hands start to cramp.
Because
I sit tile, I do mudding.
It happens to me too for a different reason, but yeah, it's terrible.
So
I hate it.
I try to take my wife on a date night, and we go to date night, and I can't pick up my fork because I can't hold my hand. And my wife's like trying to feed me, and it's just a... It was a nightmare. She's awesome, though. I just got to say right now, my wife, without my wife, God first, because God gave me my wife, but she's totally taking care of me, especially because after the surgery, they came in and told me a bunch of important things when I was not in the right mind.
Yeah, of course they did.
They like to do that.
Yeah, and then luckily, my wife's been the last couple of weeks,
like, "What are you doing? You can't be out in the sun. You can get sun cancer." She's like, "Haven't you noticed there's sunscreen everywhere?" I was like, "Oh, I didn't."
Yeah. They're like, "We know you don't understand this, but this is actually the life-saving important information.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that."
That's God doing work as a non-last minute God.
Man
And I don't feel like it was just the perfect timing. His timing is so perfect. I was trying to schedule and plan my own kidney transplant. It'll be better in a couple of years,
as
it'll
strong men do.
And God's timing was just perfect.
Amen.
He's never late or early.
It was just perfect. I look, the more and more time passes by and I look back and I think about things and I get to recognize, even how you said, of like, God knows everything. God, the young man that passed away that I got his kidney, God knitted him in his mother's womb, knowing that he was going to have a life, but he was going to have a short life.
Yeah.
And he's going to give me a kidney to continue my life. And It just means so much. Like, oh, I have all these thoughts that just dawn on me. It's taking, I imagine it's going to be all year like this. As I heal and I get better and I feel things and see things.
Yeah.
And I can see God's beauty and his work. And
man,
I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for God placing me in Foothills, all the prayers. I can't walk through Foothills without someone. People coming to me and telling me that, you know, we don't know you, but we know you, and we dedicate the mornings to prayer for you, or night for prayer
for
you.
We have the best family.
Yeah.
We really do.
Miguel, there's a guy who was, maybe it was the fourth or fifth episode, his name was Rocky Craig.
Oh, Rocky.
And so Rocky was in the final days of his life when he came on the podcast. And I don't know if you guys do this, but I have three of Rocky's last voicemails. I just save them.
Yeah, I
do. So that I could listen.
I do that with my mom.
Because it was so inspirational. And one of the things that Rocky said, and I really think it's true about you, because you're famous, you're the famous kidney guy, right? But, and his story is just extraordinary. But he said, I will not be defined by my disease. He had cancer, really bad. And so I know that this testimony that you have and the journey that you have gone through and continue to go through, that's powerful and important. But the lessons that you've learned during these seasons have spread out to every single element of your life. The testimony that you have is not just about this incredible, miraculous faithfulness of God. The lessons are how to stand with somebody in trial, how your brothers have done this, you've stood with you, how to be grateful, how to take chances in obedience. The Lord has taught you so much that you're passing along to other people. It's not that you're defined as a kidney transplant guy, just like Aaron Martin isn't that. But you've allowed the Lord to teach you through adversity and through the faithfulness, not only of God, but the faithfulness of your Christian family. And that testimony is big, and it's powerful. It's important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other things that you want to share with the people who are listening right now that you think the Lord has taught you that would be important for them?
First of all, I would just like to say thank you to everybody. Everybody. Everybody's been an important role in this. And just don't ever give up faith. God is always there, no matter how dark it is. And that's why the body is so important. God has used the body so many times when I was down, when I was sick in the beginning of the year. Anytime I felt I was slipping away, God sent me a brother or a sister or someone to pray over me, or to just don't lose that faith, because however dark it looks, whatever you're going through, it's way darker without the Lord.
Well, yeah.
Preach.
You know, so the way that this works these days is we'll record a couple of people back to back, like you just met Jack. And Jack and I were on the trail today, and what you said is exactly what God did. There was a woman on the trail who was terrified of dying. And through a whole bunch of crazy, listen to Jack's episode, through a bunch of crazy, wonderful, exceptional circumstances, God put us together with her on the trail and said, you don't have to be afraid of dying. God can take that away from you, and you can know where you're going and know his love, and that fear can just vanish. And right on the trail this morning, she prayed that prayer and gave her life to Jesus like you did.
So raw.
And boom, it was gone. She was crying big old tears, and
so
she's
raw.
Brand new. And that's why we're sent. We're sent to support and stand with and testify. And that's why we got to get off our couch.
Celebrate.
And go sent. That's it. Yeah. It's an honor to be in this with you, man.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Appreciate you.
You want to pray? You want to pray for the people that are listening?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Heavenly Father, I would like to say just thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for never giving up on me and always being there, Lord. Placing me with a good family, good church, good wife. Lord, I pray for all those out there that are struggling, that are struggling with dark, with hurt, anxiety. Lord, I pray that you touch their heart, that you show yourself to them like you did to me, Lord. Once they see you, there's no denial. That light is just so beautiful and attractive. You'll never want to go any other way. So, Lord, I just pray for everyone out there. I pray for everyone that you touch their heart and that they'd be able to see you. Yes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.